Welcome to the Shortwave Report. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. The Shortwave Report is a 30-minute review of news and opinion heard on the shortwave radio and the internet in Northern California. Listening to international broadcasts at home is quite easy. You just need a shortwave radio with a schedule of English language broadcast. But it's simpler to use a computer or smartphone with an internet connection. To help you with this, I'll announce times, frequencies, and website addresses at the conclusion of each series of stories. At the website for this show, that's outfarpress.com, you can listen to the past 5 shortwave reports and find advice for listening to shortwave at home. Please check out the website and tell a friend. In today's edition, you'll hear reports from NHK Japan, France 24, and Radio Havana, Cuba. We will begin with NHK World Radio Japan. Space Force, the newest branch of the U.S. military, has established a new unit in Japan. The South Korean president invoked martial law to put his opponents in check. Large protest followed, and he now faces impeachment. The International Court of Justice is discussing the legal consequences for countries that cause significant harm to the climate. The United Nations Summit on Plastic Pollution reached a stalemate and has postponed a draft agreement. International organizations have suspended their work in Gaza following an Israeli airstrike that killed 2 workers delivering food in a World Food Central Kitchen vehicle. Israel continues airstrikes in Lebanon despite agreeing to a ceasefire. NHK Japan.
The youngest branch of the U.S. military has established a new unit in Japan. The Space Force says it's ready to help defend against North Korean missiles and other high-flying threats. About 200 people attended the inauguration at Yokota Air Base on Wednesday, including senior officers of the Japan Air Self-Defense Force. The commander of U.S. Space Force's Indo-Pacific says their alliance is stronger than ever at a crucial moment.
In addition to persistent threats like North Korea and Russia, the People's Republic of China continue to engage in illegal, coercive, aggressive and deceptive tactics that threaten the stability of the Indo-Pacific region.
Our Space Force is defending our country, here on Earth and wherever our mission takes us.
The U.S. established the branch in 2019 to pursue superiority in space with the slogan, Always Above. A team of several dozen personnel will now work with Japan's own Space Operations Unit to enhance surveillance and share information on missile launches. In addition to North Korea, they'll also monitor China's increasing activity in Earth's orbit and beyond. South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol is facing political uncertainty after an apparent attempt to use the military against his political opponents backfired. He invoked, then quickly repealed martial law. Now the opposition is moving to impeach him. Late Tuesday, Yoon suddenly announced he was deploying South Korean troops to safeguard the country against what he called anti-state forces. His martial law headquarters responded by banning all political activities, including party activities and civil gatherings in the National Assembly. But rather than stamping out dissent, the declaration moved crowds of people to gather outside parliament. They protested Yoon's decision, which was also criticized by members of the ruling and opposition parties. Security forces struggled to keep people from entering the National Assembly. Then, early Wednesday, lawmakers passed a resolution to lift martial law. The speaker deemed the martial law declaration invalid. Yoon then announced he would lift the decree, his sudden reversal only adding to the confusion. Since then, several high-ranking officials have said they're resigning, including South Korea's defense minister. The main opposition Democratic Party says Yoon should follow suit. It's vowed to charge the president with insurrection. That party and opposition lawmakers from 5 others have already submitted a motion for impeachment.
This person, Yoon Sun-yeol, has done something crazy that violates the Constitution. He's basically committed a coup. Impeachment is not a choice anymore. It's a must.
Voting will likely take place later this week and will be adopted if two-thirds of lawmakers vote in favor. If approved, Yoon's presidential duties will be temporarily suspended, and a constitutional court will decide within 180 days whether his time in office is up.
The International Court of Justice is weighing what legal obligations countries have to fight climate change. The hearing kicked off at The Hague in the Netherlands Monday. It's in response to a UN General Assembly resolution from last year. It asked the court to issue an advisory opinion about greenhouse gas emissions under international law. The goal is to clarify what the legal consequences are for countries that cause significant harm to the climate. The question is especially critical for small island states like Vanuatu. The Pacific nation is endangered by rising sea levels.
We find ourselves on the front lines of a crisis we did not create. There is an urgent need for a collective response to climate change, grounded not in political convenience, but in international law.
Delegates from over 90 countries are expected to take part in the proceedings. They'll run until December 13th. The court is expected to issue its opinion as early as next year.
Negotiators working on the UN's first ever treaty on plastic pollution have agreed to postpone a draft agreement. Delegates remain divided over major sticking points, such as whether to restrict plastic production. The chair of the Intergovernmental Negotiating Committee, Luis Vajas Valdivieso, said negotiators had not reached consensus on several key issues. The participants agreed to the postponement proposed by the chair during the final plenary session. The chair released a revised draft treaty earlier Sunday, the last day of the week-long talks in South Korea. One option sided with a proposal by the EU to set a global target to cut plastic output and require countries to report steps that they take to achieve the goal. Another option omitted such restrictions, reflecting strong opposition by oil-producing nations. An expert on international negotiations on environmental issues says there is hope for some of the proposals.
Each country has made clear where they can't compromise. I hope that the participants will come up with a good agreement that will fill the gap in opinions.
Global plastic waste output hit 353 million metric tons in 2019, more than double the amount produced in 2000. International organizations are suspending their work in Gaza after an aid vehicle was hit by an Israeli airstrike. It's raised concerns about the humanitarian situation in the enclave. The UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, or UNRWA, announced on Sunday that it has paused the delivery of aid through the Kerem Shalom checkpoint in southern Gaza, the main crossing point for humanitarian aid. UNRWA cited the lack of safety on aid routes. World Central Kitchen, an international aid group that provides food to people in Gaza, announced on Saturday that it is suspending its activities. The group made the decision after one of its vehicles suffered an Israeli airstrike, killing at least one person. The Israeli military says it struck a vehicle carrying a terrorist who took part in the surprise Hamas attack on Israel in October last year, and that the person worked for World Central Kitchen. The Associated Press has reported that two children and a woman were crushed to death on Friday when a crowd of Palestinians rushed to get bread at a bakery in Gaza. The incident comes amid a worsening food shortage. In Lebanon, a ceasefire between Israel and the Shia Muslim group Hezbollah has taken effect, but there appears to be no end in sight for the conflict in Gaza. Negotiations for a ceasefire there have seemingly stalled, but Hamas released a video. It claims to show an American hostage in an apparent bid to put pressure on Israel and the U.S. The footage released Saturday shows a young man pleading for intervention to secure his release. A White House official says he's an American Israeli and that they have been in touch with his family. Israel has continued its offensive in Gaza. Al Jazeera says at least 100 people were killed Saturday, including 12 residents in the south who were waiting for humanitarian aid amid a serious food crisis. Reuters news agency says Israeli airstrikes on a residential building in Gaza City left many residents there missing. Meanwhile, Israel has also conducted air raids in Lebanon, accusing Hezbollah of violating a ceasefire agreement. But the truce still appears to be in effect.
Now to the conflict between Israel and the Shia Muslim group Hezbollah. On Monday, Hezbollah fired rockets at an Israeli military position in a border area for the first time since a ceasefire took effect last week. Hezbollah says it was a warning shot in response to what it called repeated ceasefire violations by Israel. Israeli forces have continued airstrikes on Lebanon, saying that Hezbollah violated the ceasefire agreement. Lebanon's health ministry says one person was killed in an Israeli strike on Monday in the country's south. The Speaker of the Lebanese Parliament, Nabi Berri, says ceasefire violations and breaches by Israel have exceeded 50. Israel's Foreign Minister Gideon Saar said on Monday that Israel is not violating the ceasefire understandings, but is enforcing them in response to Hezbollah's violations, which demand immediate action.
Those reports were from NHK World Radio Japan. On shortwave, they're heard at 9 p.m. at 11735, or on the web at www.3.nhk.or.jp, as well as most podcast sites, as is the shortwave report. All the times I announce are for Pacific Standard Time, so please adjust them to your time zone. Next, France 24. The recently appointed Prime Minister of France has resigned after Parliament rejected him in a historic no-confidence vote. A coalition of far-right and far-left joined to remove him. We'll hear press reviews from 3 days leading to the decision, which leaves the French government in a precarious situation. Amnesty International has officially accused Israel of carrying out a genocide against Palestinians based on statements made by officials. France 24.
Back here in France, a lot of focus on the government. It's only been in place for a couple of months. It could be about to fall.
Quite. Let's look at the front page of Libération. You have, this is Prime Minister Michel Barnier, hanging on to the title, quite literally. And then the headline reads, Barnier, 49.321 go. 49.3 is, of course, this clause that we've come oh so familiar with in recent French history. It's the clause that allows a prime minister to pass a law through parliament without a majority. And it's what Michel Barnier is likely to have to do over his social security budget. Of course, it's the left who will be triggering a no confidence vote after he does that, if he does that. The big question is whether or not the far right national rally will also throw their votes behind it and tip the balance. On the inside pages of Libération, you have Marine Le Pen's face in big, and you have this description of her down here that caught my attention. Julius Le Pen, that's in the words of one Macronist former minister who said she's Julius Le Pen, thumbs up or thumbs down, whether she votes for it or not, she's shown she's the one, it's in her gift to save Gladiator Barnier or not. In other words, she has this enormous power that she is wielding. Similar themes picked up on in Les Echos, a more right-wing paper. On the front page, you have the Barnier government on reprieve, in other words, awaiting punishment. And on the inside pages, you also have this thing about Le Pen and her enormous power right now. Moment, all-powerful moment, says that article. Of course, right now, she's awaiting a verdict early next year on her embezzlement charges. Prosecutors are asking for her to be benched for 5 years from politics. And yet, right now, politicians and journalists are hanging on her every word. Has she shifted? Has she moved? What will she do? How will she vote? How will she tell her people to vote? She said, for 40 years, the political class has wanted national rally votes, but not to see its face. Well, now it's her triumphant moment, as hers is the most prominent and powerful face of the opposition, despite the way that parliamentary mathematics plays out.
French Prime Minister Michel Barnier facing two votes of no confidence against his government. The political crisis is dominating the papers, isn't it, Dipsy?
Yeah, absolutely. The French far right and left have brought forward these two votes of no confidence against Michel Barnier. They're expected to pass through on Wednesday. Now, it comes after he triggered that controversial constitutional mechanism known as the 49.3 article that essentially allows the government to bypass a vote and push through a bill, in this case, the budget bill. Now, if you want a sort of really good explainer on what this crisis is about and what that controversial mechanism is about and why it's so controversial, The Guardian has a very good article that kind of sums it up, so it's well worth a read for a refresher course. Now, looking at what the press is saying, this is La Voix du Nord. This is a regional paper here in France, which really spells it out. It says, is this the beginning of the end for Michel Barnier? And really warns that it appears that his days as prime minister are numbered now in the wake of this crisis.
You found a lot of criticism leveled at Marine Le Pen, haven't you, in the papers?
Yeah, absolutely. This is from Le Figaro, which says, you know, Marine Le Pen really chose the kind of nuclear option by bringing forward this vote of no confidence. And they also wonder why they really question the timing, why she decided to trigger this political crisis with no possibility of an election. Because, of course, French people went to the ballots back in July for snap parliamentary elections. And under the rules, no Emmanuel Macron cannot dissolve parliament for another year. So until at least July 2025. So the paper really critiquing her for contributing to this risk of France now being facing the possibility of plunging even deeper into a political crisis on top of an economic crisis as well. This is from Libération, the left-wing daily, that's going with a very symbolic headline there, Le Jeu de la Dame. It's actually a play on words of a TV show called The Queen's Gambit. The French name of that show is Le Jeu de la Dame. So they're sort of playing on that. And it also means yoke, the yoke on a bull's back. So really that sort of imagery of a noose hanging around, so to speak, hanging around Michel Barnier's neck right now. And the paper says that he really has himself to blame. He sought to sort of ensure his survival as prime minister by pandering to the far right. And in the process, he ostracized the left. And this is the situation we have today.
So we knew it was coming then, but nevertheless, it's a headline. The first time a no-confidence vote has toppled a prime minister since 1962. Antonia is here. She's going to give us a rundown of the front pages here in France and beyond as well, Antonia.
Quite right. Yes, let's start with Libération here in France, a left-wing paper. We have the headline, Veni, Vidi, Viré, with literally in which we see the back of Michel Barnier. That translates, of course, as I came, I saw, I was fired. On the front page of Le Télégramme, you have Barnier censored, Macron isolé. This, of course, as the president will now have to scramble to find someone who could possibly be a prime minister and perhaps command the kind of majority that could get a budget through. Les Echos also has the vote of no confidence on the front page with the headline, The Alliance of the Extremes. This is a reference to the strange bedfellows who emerged yesterday as the far right voted with the left on the left's vote of no confidence in the government. Let's also look abroad, as the international press has also very much taken out the popcorn. On the front page of El País, you have the story, France finds itself without a government. La Repubblica in Italy, it says France, a sucker punch for Macron. While in Germany, the front page of their web edition has an international angle. Victory for Putin, question mark, is the headline. It says France is no longer a reliable partner. Le Pen now holds all the cards and she has made no secret of how critical she is of support for Ukraine. Perhaps the best summed up, though, is in The Economist, where I don't have to translate this for you, I don't think, and I don't think I can. It says, merde, exclamation mark, as a summary of France's current political turmoil.
A damning report which casts the state of Israel in a negative light. Amnesty International has accused Israeli authorities of carrying out genocide against Palestinians based on evidence and statements made by officials, a pattern of conduct the rights group says cannot be explained by recklessness.
Israel intended and intend to commit genocide. It may do so alongside its military objective. It may do so in addition to obliterate or get rid of Hamas. We looked at the cumulative effect of these acts, one after the other. We looked at the incredible impact of Israel's crimes over the last 14 months.
The assessment from the London-based human rights organization, which came after months of analysis, was welcomed by Palestinian officials. And on the ground in Gaza, residents said it served as proof the war was more than a fight with Hamas.
This is a war of extermination. It's not a war on Hamas. This is a war of extermination against the entire Palestinian population. That's clear. What have we done? What have our neighbors done to deserve this? They're all civilians. They all have children.
Israeli officials have slammed Amnesty's findings, calling them deplorable and entirely fabricated. The country alleging it's defending itself in accordance with international law. Amnesty International is calling on states who support the ICC's arrest warrant on Russian President Vladimir Putin to do the same for Benjamin Netanyahu, arguing double standards cannot exist in the implementation of justice.
Those press reviews and report were from France 24, which may be easily found at their website, france24.com, as well as a YouTube channel called France 24 English. They are also available at most podcast sites. If you have questions or comments about the Shortwave Report or could help support this program, like a longtime supporter in Boonville, California did this week, there is a link for online donations available at my website, outfarpress.com, or you could write to Dan Roberts at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490. Many, many thanks to everyone who's ever helped keep this freely distributed show going. Please join them. And if you're listening on a public radio station, please, they need your support as well. We will conclude with Radio Havana, Cuba. There were mass rallies in London calling for the end of the Israeli attacks on Palestine. At the rally, the London Metropolitan Police issued a warning that expressing support for Palestine is a criminal offense under British law. United Nations Secretary General Guterres said children in Gaza have the highest per capita number of amputees anywhere in the world. Radio Havana, Cuba.
Pro-Palestinian protesters staged a mass rally in the UK's capital city of London over the weekend, calling for an end to the genocide and urging the British government to cut ties with the Israeli regime. Protesters holding Palestinian and Lebanese flags marched through central London from Park Lane to Whitehall in Westminster and then to number 10 Downing Street, the official residence and office of the British Prime Minister. Organizers reported that nearly 125,000 joined the march, collectively calling on Britain to put an end to its complicity in Israeli war crimes. Protesters condemned the actions of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and called for his arrest following the International Criminal Court arrest warrant issued against Netanyahu. Members of the British Parliament, pro-Palestinian groups, and prominent NGOs operating in Gaza made speeches during the mass rally. They called on the UK government to stop arms sales to Israel and impose sanctions against the occupying regime of Israel that has killed nearly 45,000 Palestinians, mostly women and children, since last year. Among the distinguished speakers, a Palestinian physician shared harrowing accounts from Gaza and appealed to the British government for urgent humanitarian intervention to stop the bloodshed. He said, "As history has shown, acts of genocide, ethnic cleansing, and brutal aggression do not sustain an occupation. On the contrary, the more force is used, the less effective it becomes, ultimately accelerating the collapse of such repressive regimes. These actions often serve to hasten the end of the occupation rather than secure its longevity." Palestinian Forum in Britain, Palestinian Solidarity Campaign, Stop the War Coalition, Campaign for Nuclear Disarmament, Friends of Al-Aqsa, and the Muslim Association of Britain were among the pro-Palestinian groups organizing the march. According to the demonstration and those at the demonstration on Saturday, the London Metropolitan Police issued a warning reminding protesters that expressing support for Palestine constitutes a criminal offense under British law.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres says Gaza now has the highest number of children amputees per capita anywhere in the world. In remarks read out on his behalf at the Cairo conference aimed at increasing humanitarian aid, Guterres said many children in Gaza were losing limbs and undergoing surgeries without even anesthesia. The UN chief further highlighted the devastating toll of Israel's campaign of genocide and the urgent need for international action. The Secretary General described Gaza's situation as appalling and apocalyptic. He further warned the conditions faced by the Palestinians in Gaza may amount to the gravest international crimes. Malnutrition is rampant, famine is imminent, meanwhile the health system has collapsed. Guterres also criticized the severe restrictions on aid delivery, calling the current levels grossly insufficient. International aid organizations have reportedly raised the alarm over the deteriorating conditions in Gaza. They have said aid shipments are reaching Gaza now at their lowest since the start of the Israeli aggression. The UN chief said the blockade of aid into Gaza is not a crisis of logistics, but rather a crisis of political will and of respect for fundamental principles of international humanitarian law. According to UNRWA's count, only 65 aid trucks per day have been able to enter Gaza this past month, compared to a pre-war average of 500. UNRWA said all the attempts it made to deliver aid into northern Gaza had either been denied or impeded between October 6 and November 25. Guterres said UNRWA is an irreplaceable lifeline for millions of Palestinians. If UNRWA is forced to close, the responsibility of replacing its battle services would rest with Israel.
Those reports were from Radio Havana, Cuba. Cuba's website is working well at radiohc.cu, but there's no podcast. On shortwave, Cuba may be heard from noon to 1 p.m. at 15140 and from 5 p.m. to 11 at either 6000, 6060, or 6100. At their website, radiohc.cu, you can stream the English version at noon, Monday through Friday, Pacific Time. One of my goals in producing this show is to encourage people like you to listen to international broadcast. Get a global perspective. You will have to look even harder these days because of increasing U.S. and EU prohibitions on media. Every Thursday evening, I post a new shortwave report at the website for this show. That's outfarpress.com. At my website, you can also listen to past shows, find information for online donations. There's a link at my website along with the podcast link, and get advice for listening at home. The Shortwave Report, which is now in its 28th year of production, remains free to rebroadcast upon notification. For 27 years, the Shortwave Report has been produced and distributed off the electrical grid in Northern California using solar panels. I'm still recuperating from a spinal injury and staying in a house that's connected to the grid. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. Thanks for listening.